forget. I'm not sure who. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting.
All right, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special and very knowledgeable guest, Dr. Edwin Vieira. Dr. Vieira, the way you penned this article, I mean, I perused through it. I didn't read it all. But in what I have read here, it looks to me like the organization of a militia would literally eliminate any need for this, quote, Department of Homeland Security, because it basically removes, as you write, it removes any further excuse for the ongoing paramilitarization of state and local police forces.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right, and that's exactly what the Constitution provides. The whole thrust of the Constitution in that area is to leave these fundamental questions of security in the hands of the people themselves. It's organization from the bottom up, not organization from the top down. And if you think about it simply from the point of view of practicality, all the different types of problems relating to homeland security in different areas of the country, whether it's the states with the border with Mexico, whether it's states where there's drug trafficking coming in through boats, on and on, we can list dozens of possibilities. Is it more rational to say that those should be solved at the local level by the people who are most intimately familiar with them, who are on the scene? Or should those problems be solved by some aloof bureaucracy in Washington, such as FEMA, which when it shows up in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, demonstrates that it's totally incompetent and totally unprepared? I mean, if that example doesn't convince people of the impracticality, if not the stupidity, of running this kind of a system from the top down, forgetting the fact that setting up a system, a top-down system of homeland security, is the foundation for a national police state. Forgetting that, but simply from a practical point of view, we've seen what top-down organizing is capable of doing or not doing. The other alternative is the one that makes sense from the practical point of view. From the political point of view, of course, it's absolutely necessary, because if you give police powers to a centralized organization manned by bureaucrats, and especially manned by bureaucrats that have their experience in the East German secret police, the Stasi, you are certainly looking at a system which is inherently antagonistic to everything the Constitution and the Bill of Rights stands for. And I don't know, Mr. Chertoff may be a fine individual, I've never met him, I've never talked with him, but the problem is, when you put that kind of power into the hands of appointed individuals, sooner or later you're going to run into someone in that position who is not a nice man, who wants to exercise abusive powers, or is part of a group that wants to exercise abusive powers, and then you've given him the instrument, or given them the instrument, to do it. And simultaneously, of course, with the system that we're developing here in this country, they're trying to disarm the average person. So the average person is now going to be subject to every kind of oppression and victimization, exactly the opposite of the constitutional principle. Well, so whether you look at it practically or politically, there's really only one answer to the problem.
Well, I mentioned it on my show yesterday, Dr. Vieira. I mean, we're headed down that road. I mean, there was a listener of mine that called me up and, you know, directed me back to the 13th Amendment. And it says, except for the commission of a crime. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is they're changing all of these laws, even traffic laws, and they're making everything a crime. I mean, there's so many laws on the books right now, I don't think that there's an American citizen who can walk through the course of his day without at least committing some kind of infraction or a crime in their eyes. And once you've done that, then they subject you to, the punishment, if you will, or they indoctrinate you into the system or their database or their fines or their schools or whatever, you know. And this is by design. So you have to look at it from, you know, as a point of view, as somebody like you or me, as a sovereign American that wants a constitutional republic, or who are these people, the agenda behind what they're trying to do, steps all over the Constitution and our core values. And with that, we'll take a break. We'll be back with a long segment coming up. My guest, Dr. Edwin Vieira, will get into this well, quite more extensively, and I'll open up the
phone
lines.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. For details.
I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back. All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Dr. Edwin Vieira. And Dr. Vieira, would you not agree? I mean, in looking at this, and we'll never get through this entire article, but you make a lot of strong points here. Would you not agree, though, that any president that gets up on a podium on mainstream media in front of the American people on more than one occasion and says his primary goal is to, quote, protect the American people, yet he sets up Department of Homeland Security, he leaves the borders open. I mean, you know, we know absolute power corrupts. There are atrocities being perpetrated throughout this country with tasering, with people being arrested, people being spied upon and so forth, with a lot of this legislation that has been shot through. The agenda that's going on here is completely bipolar to what you are outlining by setting up a militia, which is depicted in the Constitution. I mean, these people that are in power right now, obviously by their actions, are totally opposed to anything the Constitution puts forth.
Oh, I think objectively that's correct. You know, you can never look into somebody's soul and know what motivates them in the deepest recesses of their hearts, but objectively speaking, that's correct. Every one of the steps they're taking is not only unconstitutional, I would call it anti-constitutional. It's an attempt to overthrow the Constitution, not simply to disregard it. No doubt this is the result of a lot of accretion of stupidity over the years. We've had politicians doing this year in and year out, and now with the war on terror paranoia, they've essentially been given their head, and a lot of people are willing to abide by whatever they tell them is Homeland Security. That is not what the Constitution tells us. And the point I made in that article that you're referencing, of course, is that with a president such as Ron Paul in office, once again, all of that could be turned around in 180 degrees, because the Constitution, of course, provides that the President of the United States is the commander-in-chief of the militia. And he can look around and say, well, wait a minute, the militia is not organized properly in any of the 50 states. Congress has fallen down on its responsibility. The state governments have fallen down on responsibility. And I, as commander-in-chief, absolutely need to have this organization done. And then he can go around to friendly governors in some of the states, get some legislation enacted. I don't think it would be too difficult to draft that kind of legislation. And I believe once people see that kind of organization being reborn in a state like New Hampshire, a state like Virginia, Montana, you know, you pick the state where this might happen, with the leadership of someone like Ron Paul, then it's going to spread across the country just like oil on water. And once that happens, the era of the potential police state, the era of top-down police control coming out of the District of Columbia will be over forever. Once the people are reorganized on the constitutional basis of the militias in each state, that problem will be over forever.
Well, you depict this very eloquently on actually item 8. It says no one can plausibly oppose revitalizing the militia in the several states. Opposition to the militia is easily exposed as anti-constitutional because the Constitution requires the militia to be properly organized, armed, disciplined, and trained. It's against federalism. I mean, in implementing this, Ron Paul steps into office. Again, I'm speculating here. He implements this, and the Department of Homeland Security falls by the wayside. They
exactly.
cannot argue with this, and it is pro-Constitution. Anybody that argues against it, it's against federalism because the militia, as you write here, are the militia of the several states. It's against popular self-government because the militia are we the people. It's against the only kind of homeland security that the Constitution declares to be necessary for a free state, and therefore implicitly against a free state, and therefore implicitly in favor of a police state, and distrustful, fearful, and even contemptuous of common Americans. I could not have penned this any better. I give you accolades for your article here, but in implementing something like this, and had they looked at this, or had anybody come along, whether it be George Bush or Bill Clinton or whatever, and they had done this originally, even back, you know, Oklahoma City bombing, where this anti-terrorist legislation was stalled in Congress until conveniently the Oklahoma City bombing happened and it shot through Congress. Had they just went with this outline and implemented what you're specifying here, we wouldn't have a Department of Homeland Security. We wouldn't need a Department of Homeland Security. Our borders would have been secured, which they should have been, and I know you'll agree with this, if this this current president that resides in the White House really was out to protect the American people. Within a few days after the bombing or the 9/11 attacks, these borders would have been closed.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. And if within, and that was actually what caused me. Let me go back a little bit in the history of this. That's what actually caused me to start writing on this subject and just put a plug in for the book. They can go to News with Views, a lot of articles on News with Views. But if they go to Amazon.com, they will see my book, Constitutional Homeland Security, which is the first book-length treatment of this. I'm in the process of writing some further volumes on the subject. But when the 9/11 event occurred, I was sitting back. I'd always been a student of the Second Amendment as well as other parts of the Constitution. And I said, well, now we're going to see, under these circumstances, some people coming out for a revitalization of the militia. Because this kind of a problem is one that can be dealt with intelligently and sufficiently only by a militia. And I waited. And I waited.
You waited,
and the,
yes.
And the pro-gun organizations did nothing. The constitutionalist organizations did nothing. You make this laundry list of the usual suspects who should have said something. Of course, politicians didn't say anything. They came out with this terrorist legislation, the Patriot Act, and all this Stasi-type legislation. And I said, well, now someone's got to come out and say this. And so I started writing about it a few years ago. And the more I study the subject in detail, and the more I put down on paper or electronically, the more I was convinced that this was the way the founding fathers... See, they didn't have to put the militia into the Constitution. They could clearly have said, oh, this is an outdated form of protection. We really should depend upon a standing army the way Prussia has it, or the way England has it, or the way France, or whatever. But they didn't. They put in what was essentially an antiquated concept. It had been around since the 1600s in the colonies. And they made it the very centerpiece of what we call today the Homeland Security structure. That's that Second Amendment phrase, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And the more one thinks about why they did that, it wasn't simply to provide the elements of security, sort of a police force. It was to provide the elements of security through the people themselves so that they would maintain their political liberty. Because, you know, one of the two greatest powers of government, if you read any textbook on political science, especially classical political science, the two great powers of government, the power of the sword and the power of the purse. The power of the purse we've already lost to the Federal Reserve System. The power of the sword they're trying to take away from us by setting up a Homeland Security structure and massive gun control, extensive gun control, for everybody else throughout the country. With Ron Paul as president, we've already talked about how we could regain the power of the purse. And with Ron Paul as president, being commander-in-chief of the militia, we would regain the power of the sword. And political philosophy tells you if you have those two, you have everything else. And those are the two, it's quite obvious, that the establishment has always wanted to take away from us, because they recognize it as much as any political philosopher recognizes it. Those are the keys to the kingdom.
Well, right now we have, I believe, last time I looked, we have our military or bases in, what, out of 193 countries in the world, we have bases in 140? Does that sound right?
Something along that line. We're more overstretched than the Roman Empire was at its greatest extent.
Well, yes, and that brings me to the fact that we really are, you know, we're no longer just a sovereign nation. We are an empire. We're trying to put our tentacles in every country in the world, trying to control it, trying to make it a world empire. And Ron Paul is talking about bringing them all home, which, you know, financially alone, that would bring us back on. And Lord knows how much money we spend per year in our budget on the military being scattered across 140 nations in this on this globe.
And remember another thing. The more that we follow that imperialistic policy, the more hatred we are going to generate throughout the world against us. People in other countries can't be looking at what this country is doing and saying, oh, well, that's just fine with us. Continue to engage in these imperialistic adventures. Continue to threaten the world with nuclear bombs, for heaven's sake. That's what they're threatening Iran with at some point in time. So we're generating tremendous amounts of ill will, and all that will do is cause us to have to spend even more money on a military establishment. It's a vicious circle. And when does it end? Well, I guess it ends with bankruptcy. And we're pretty close to that now. I mean, I look at this situation, there's only one word that comes to my mind. All of these things that are happening simultaneously with the open borders, the North American Union, this imperial overstretch, the destruction of the monetary systems, it's madness. That's why I wrote in that earlier article. These people have really the leadership group in this country, and not right now. I mean, we're going back for a long time. These people have been in control of this country since before World War II. The leadership group in this country has really proven itself to be one of the, if not the worst, leadership groups in the history of the world. They've taken a country with tremendous resources, with tremendously intelligent and competent people, and they're running it into the ground at high speed.
Okay, Phone lines are open, folks. 800-313-9443. Feel free to call in with a question or comment for Dr. Edwin Vieira. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. We'll have more when we get back. Got some questions for the candidates that Dr. Vieira depicted. I want to go into a couple of these as well. Be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Phone lines are open, folks. 800-313-9443. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour. My guest, Dr. Edwin Vieira. As I pen through or I read through this article, you had some questions for the candidates, and I wanted to read this small excerpt here. It says, people throughout the United States, all across the political spectrum, are concerned that a police state apparatus is being set up in the executive branch of federal government centered around the Department of Homeland Security. One question, what do you intend to do at the federal level to prevent such an apparatus from being constructed? And it reminds me of a video clip I saw a couple months ago where the student at a university was asking John Kerry a question, and they dragged him down. The police dragged him out and tasered him.
I mean, that's right. That would be the response, wouldn't it?
Well, some of these direct questions that you're asked, I mean, as far as the police state apparatus, that question specifically would prove that it's already being set up or it's already implemented, because John Kerry's not even a candidate, but you know, these most of these candidates on both sides of the political aisle, they can't handle direct questions. They can't handle a question that is going to cause them to expose themselves, if you will, and so they've got protection around them. And even in the people that are asking the questions in the debate, the questions are softball questions. And I noticed that, and I've watched a few of the debates, they will ask, they'll send a question to Dr. Ron Paul to try to trap him, if you will.
Right.
It's like being in a one-sided game. You know, it's like participating in a game that they have all the marbles and you're playing with just a few here. But getting back to these questions for the candidates, is it possible to be able to ask direct questions without, you know, having this police state fall down around your head?
Well, I think the experience of the student in that Kerry meeting or rally, whatever it was, tends to demonstrate that it's pretty difficult to do it spontaneously, or at least you put yourself in a position where you may be sorry that you did. I just wonder, in that particular instance, who gave the initial instructions to those so-called security personnel to engage in that kind of behavior? How did they know what type of question they were supposed to suppress? How did they know they could get away with that kind of a violent response to that question? Someone must have authorized it. Someone must have told them, oh, if you use a taser or crack some heads, don't worry, we want to keep these people quiet. I mean, a security man, if I were in that particular business, I'd be worried about all sorts of liability for taking that kind of action.
And
not simply from the
person
that I had tasered, but from Senator Kerry, who would be on my case because I had made him look bad. So someone authorized that at a high level, it seems to me. It wasn't some flunky on the floor that did it.
Right, and by virtue of the fact that John Kerry did nothing, he either had to know about it ahead of time or he was really flustered and had no idea what to do. I mean, had it been myself, if I were up there and I watched this event unfold when I was making a speech or taking questions and answers, I would have interceded. And
I would have told
those people to back off.
Right. I would have been down off the podium and right down there on the floor saying, what's going on here?
Well, right. But that's
Senator
not,
Kerry,
you know, that's,
Senator Kerry apologized for that?
I don't know whether he did or not. He may
have. That would be interesting for someone to check on him. Because I would think that even if he had been entirely surprised by the event, he would have wanted to look into it.
Well, I agree with you. That is one incident, though, and I have seen several of these incidents, and I give kudos out to some of these young guys that are out there that are getting in the face of these political candidates, not necessarily in the debates themselves, but they're asking them questions after the debates are over. But I find it very interesting that anytime there's a direct question asked, something that, you know, really bites to the core of an issue, they're escorted off. They never answer the question. The candidate, Rudy Giuliani or some of these other candidates will downsize it and walk off, never answer the question. They can't handle the direct questions.
Yeah.
And there needs to be more of this. These guys that are out there that are doing this, we need to have that tenfold. These people need to be stalked wherever they go. They need to have this continuously be put in their face wherever they go, because as long as they can ignore it and as long as they can get away with it, I mean, this whole premise is to wake people up, Dr. Vieira. This whole premise is to get the mind-numbed American public to realize what's going on here. And we're not going to get any help from the mainstream media in this venue.
No, and apparently these debates are mostly Punch and Judy show staged operations, as you say. For this candidate Ron Paul is there, they're trying to knife him in the back in some way with a trick question. And for the rest of them, they're throwing up softballs or wiffle balls. So you're not going to get anywhere there either. Of course, the difficulty of the confrontational technique is that it sometimes backfires in the way it ends up being presented. They're going to show the student who asked this question as being some kind of an obstreperous individual, somebody who's looking to create trouble or what have you. And that's the way the media will portray it. So it's a very fine line that a person has to walk in those circumstances.
Okay, going to take a break. We'll be back with a long segment after the break. My guest, Dr. Edwin Vieira. We've got more to come. Folks, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Give us a call with your questions and comments, and we'll be right back.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Folks, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, if you have a question or a comment for Dr. Edwin Vieira. Dr. Vieira, I want to, this last 15, 20 minutes that we have, the Las Vegas odds on Dr. Paul started, I believe, at about 60 to 1. And they are now down to, if I remember correctly, the last time I looked, they were about 3 or 4 to 1 as far as him getting a nomination. So the odds are looking good, at least in Las Vegas numbers. In your mind, what kind of country do you visualize under Ron Paul? Right now, let me expound on that just a minute. Right now, there seems to be an element of paranoia, an element of fear brought on by the mainstream media. My essence, as I go out into public, I don't feel the same as I did 30 years ago. I don't wave at my neighbor or he doesn't wave at me, and there's a lot of road rage going on. People just seem to have a bad attitude. Do you visualize that changing in the near future if Ron Paul's elected?
No, I think the opposite, in fact. That the things that you describe are the result of a developing pessimism in many, many people. That things are only going to get worse. Things are only going to become more problematical. Life is going to become more unpleasant, more hard, more difficult. And that's certainly been the pattern through, well, from as long as I can remember, from the 1960s on, let's say, paying attention to politics, 50s and 60s on. And I think Ron Paul will turn that entirely around. That instead of pessimism, we'll have optimism, and optimism to which we're entitled, because of what he'll be doing, because he will be keeping those constitutionalist promises. I can't imagine him as a president not following through on all these things he stood for so many years. Now, that doesn't mean things will be easy. Just looking at the necessity for changing over the monetary and banking system from what we have now, this highly unstable system, into a constitutionalist and sound money system is not going to be easy because, let's face the facts, the establishment is not going to give up without some kind of a fight. It's not going to be enough for them to say, oh, Ron Paul is elected president, now we give up. They're going to try and maintain their position for the 4 years and have him defeated for re-election. So the American people are going to have to get up off of their couches. They're going to have to turn off the Super Bowl and MTV, and they're actually going to have to go out and do a little work. But as I love to say to people, self-government is not a spectator sport. If we don't do it, if we don't govern ourselves, someone else is going to govern us, and we're not going to like the way we're being governed. That's true right now. So Ron Paul gives us this alternative, and I think it will be a very optimistic alternative because people will see from the moment he comes in, from that, you know, that first afternoon or that first week that he's in office, and some of these major changes occur within the executive department, they will see that progress can be made. We can turn the country around if people get behind him. And, of course, they will have gotten behind him because he's not going to be elected by the establishment. He's not going to be elected by the special interests. He's not going to be elected by the big media. He's going to be elected by Mr. and Mrs. America, by the we the people, the three most important words in the United States Constitution, by the we the people. And all the forces of darkness will be against him. And if we can overcome that and get him into the White House, you're going to tell me that we can't straighten out the whole country?
No, and I visualize, I mean, if that happened, I see for the first couple of years that he's in office, you know, the American people are going to be, you know, they're going to start becoming optimistic from what he is implementing and what he's trying to do. But I also see a number of sold-out, compromised, if you will, congressmen and senators that the American people are going to have to put under the microscope and escort them out in the following election,
right,
to you know, get some of the more important things enacted that Ron Paul would be trying to do. But again, the dark forces working against him, which would be these you know, the compromised and sold out senators and Congress people would be working against, not because they would want to work against it, it's because they have no choice.
Well, some of them are going to change their tune, because let's face it, a lot of these people are careerists. They like those jobs, they want to stay in them. And they're going to have to come to terms with a Ron Paul presidency. In 2 years will be the next congressional election, and one would hope that the result of those first 2 years of a Ron Paul presidency will cause a number of good candidates to appear, a number of Ron Paul representatives to run for office, so that the composition of the House of Representatives can be largely changed within 2 years. Then you have just the Senate to deal with. But at least with one House of Congress under control, you can bombard the Senate with all sorts of legislation and put tremendous political pressure on that group to change. And as long as none of this comes up, these major programs don't come up into the court system, because it'll take a long time to reform the court system, unfortunately, because of the way it's set, at least the federal court system, the way it's set up. That first 2 years will reinforce this attitude which will have developed from simply electing him. It's momentum again.
Right.
Our problem is we've never been moving in the right direction, and the other side has been pushing us further and further in the wrong direction. And so we've come essentially to kind of accept, well, that's the momentum. The momentum is down. as soon as a Ron Paul presidency occurs and you begin to see things moving in the opposite direction, then the mentality will be, well, if they can go this far, they can go further. And let's face the facts. People don't really want to be controlled by Washington. People don't want bevies of bureaucrats telling them what to do. They've acquiesced in this for decades because there never seemed to be any alternative, because the so-called two parties, that one party, the Janus, God with two faces on the same head, has never given them the alternative. And as a result of that, they become pessimistic, the resignation, they kind of accept the way things are. You can't fight City Hall, isn't that the expression?
Yes.
Ron Paul's candidacy shows that A, you can fight City Hall, and B, you can take over City Hall.
Well, let me ask you one other quick thing, because my phone lines are starting to load up here. What about internationally? How long do you think it'll take to reestablish international credibility?
Oh, I think within the first couple of years, because international credibility is based ultimately on countries keeping their word.
Mm-hmm.
Countries staying within their own borders and not engaging in aggression or subversion of their neighbors. Countries that are going to be good trading partners. Countries that are going to be open to helping other countries in good faith.
That's an
attitude that comes out of the White House.
Yeah, just by virtue of the fact that the troops would come home from Iraq, the war drums stop beating on Iran, they come home from Afghanistan, a number of these other bases around the world be closed up, the rest of the world is going to stand up and take notice, and they're going to say,
right.
"Whoa, wait a minute here, okay? Maybe this guy is true to his word." Okay, let's go to the phones.
And if it can be done here, it can be done there.
Right.
Then we become the model instead of the pariah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell you what, Dr. Vieira, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Kentucky first. Mike, you're on with Dr. Vieira and Michael. Go ahead.
Yes, my name's Mark, actually, but that's okay. I do take a little bit of issue about what you said earlier, sir, about the cops who told them to act that way. I talk a lot about what's going on, and especially if my views take on a conspiratorial tone or viewpoint, cops, especially if I'm around cops, because I don't care who I talk around, they automatically start looking at you like, not all of them, but a lot of them do, like they want to do something to you. I mean, honestly, it's just that automatic of a mindset. It's unbelievable.
Well, I certainly wouldn't disagree with that. They're being trained to do that.
Well, they might be trained to do that, but what I'm saying is that I don't think necessarily no one told them to go over there and take care of that guy during that carry thing, because... You know, I've seen it just out about just talking to people passively about things. So, and when you were talking about Ron Paul being president, I think the first thing we got to keep in mind, we got to keep the man alive once he gets in. Because, I mean, it'd be a massive reform that he's talking about, taking all our troops out of all these countries we're occupying, you know, getting ourselves back into a constitutionally based money system, and getting back to the Constitution in and of itself. I mean, it's just, there's going to be so many people that be against him. I mean, he'd be the equivalent of another Kennedy.
Well, I hate mentioning that on the air.
I think
everyone has to keep that in mind.
I do. I mean, I would hate to have that to happen to anyone, but...
You know, just as a joke...
In the history, you know?
Yeah, just as a joke, I'm not really proposing this. But if he wants insurance, he should pick me as his vice president.
Okay.
Because if they got rid of him, they'd have me, and they might be in worse shape then than they ever were.
Right.
So he ought to think about that possibility.
And he could put me on his staff as a bodyguard, Mike.
That's right. If he picks the right people in his immediate circle, the kind of insurance policy will be generated there.
You know, God's honest truth, I mean, I think if he got elected, I would make it like for about a year and a half, just barricading myself in the White House. I really would. I wouldn't even take any part of public appearances except if it was on the White House lawn. I mean, I would maybe do, you know, some press conferences and stuff like that, but I'll be ducked out of the White House for like about a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Serious.
That's probably good advice.
All right. Okay, I'll tell you what. It's starting to get exciting, Mike. I'll give you that. You know, thank you so much for the call, partner. I appreciate it. Anything else? Is he still there, Mike?
Must have hung up.
Okay. Let's go to Christine in Texas. Christine, you're on with Michael and Dr. Vieira. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Christine. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Mark was just talking about the concern for Ron Paul's safety once he's elected, his physical safety. That we don't even have to get that far. Have we all forgotten about the vote fraud in this country, that we have not had legitimate elections for decades? You know, it doesn't matter, in my opinion, how much money Ron Paul raises. He could raise $100 million. He could have all of this grassroots support with, millions of voters, and it doesn't matter who votes because ultimately they're not counted. The powers that be have the control over that. So, you know, why is that being ignored? And more troublesome to me is that Ron Paul has to know this. And, it seems to me that his most important and beneficial message would be to illuminate that for the people.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but that particular issue isn't being ignored. There are people that are bringing that to light. And,
pardon me for interrupting you. There's an article on Raw Story right now. Ron Paul campaign distances itself from supporters' vote fraud concerns. Why would Ron Paul do that?
Well, I would wonder whether that is necessarily Ron Paul or someone within his campaign staff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know people who are very active in Iowa and will be active in New Hampshire. We're very concerned about this vote fraud matter to the extent that they're going to go around and ask people who participate in those elections to sign affidavits and tell them that they voted for Ron Paul so that they'll get some kind of exit evidence.
Right. That's,
as to how many votes actually came up.
That has to be, because I don't see any other way of possibly overcoming that.
Yeah, so there really are people that are on the ground out there working along those lines. They're not terribly vocal,
mm-hmm.
I think for good reason, but they're getting themselves organized, and they're approaching it in a way that will make it very difficult, if the voters will respond, if the voters will cooperate with them, make it very difficult for manipulated electronic voting machines to succeed, because they'll have actual affidavits or other pieces of paper evidence of how large numbers of people voted. And that,
right.
I think if you have one of those elections that is established to be fraudulent on the basis of that kind of evidence, then all hell is going to break loose in this political system.
Well, maybe that will be his mantra then.
Well, I'll tell you what, Christine, there are people working behind the scenes, and you know, listening to RBN, you don't hear a lot of it going on right now because there's not an election going on. If you recall back to, in the last election, there were people coming up and talking about different things that were going on, you know, in different states regarding the Diebold machines and so forth. But they haven't been up on the air recently because we're not looking at an election. As it grows closer to election time, you'll be hearing from those people.
Okay.
Yeah, they are there.
Even before that happens on a national level, we're talking about what's going to happen within the Republican Party. I mean, they're going to control. He could get the largest percentage of the votes from the Republicans, but the powers that be within the GOP are never going to let that know. They've already got their selection.
I think there's a lot to be said for that, and that's why I'm looking for the three-way race.
Yes, and why is it that Ron Paul has already said that he has no intentions of doing that? That's very disappointing.
But what he says now, again, you know, Christine, you have to remember, it depends on the point in time. I mean, right now he's saying that, but if he doesn't get it, and he's got such a grassroots following, and people that are pressuring him to run on an independent ticket or a constitutional ticket or whatever, just like Dr. Vieira said, you know, running on three or four different tickets, the fact of the matter is that we have a wave that is growing into a possible tsunami that wants to get this man in office. And if the powers that be, for whatever the reason, they have their own man picked and they're going to, you know, put whoever. Who do you think they have picked, Christine? Is it, would it be Romney, Giuliani, Huckabee? Who would it be in your mind?
I'm thinking Giuliani.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's terrible. That is a nauseous thought.
Isn't it? Giuliani and Clinton.
Giuliani against Clinton? Oh, yeah, that would be the difference between doo-doo and caca. I mean, come on. But at any rate, if that happens, I mean, Ron Paul, knowing the millions of people that are behind him, I mean, if you were Ron Paul, or if I was Ron Paul, or Dr. Vieira, if you were Ron Paul, would you not say, listen, you know, I mean, he's not naive. He knows as much as we do about it. You know, he's not going to let that happen if he can avoid it. He would let down too many people. At least that's my thoughts on it.
And especially if he's been denied the Republican nomination through trickery, deceit, fraud. You know, you pick your word. At that point, all bets are off.
Right.
I mean, he's operating in the context that what's going to happen now, between now and the nominating conventions, will be upboard and honest, and there's going to be a fair up and down vote at the convention. If all of that doesn't pan out, because the secret powers behind the scenes have decided that Ron Paul is going to lose no matter what, all bets are off, and I think he will take a different direction.
Right, I do too. All right, Christine, thank you so much for the call. We've got to go to a break. We've got time for one caller when we get back. Some closing thoughts from Dr. Edward Vieira. We'll go to Patrick in Austin when we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Stick with us for the final minute. Bills.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. We'll be right back.
back. Final segment of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Dr. Edwin Vieira. Final telephone call. Patrick in Austin. Patrick, you're on with Michael and Dr. Vieira. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. The caller, Christina, about the yes. vote fraud thing. That is something that people are working on. For example, last night I went to a meeting, and we're working in conjunction with the precinct level as far as being able to have that covered. So, you know, stuff is being worked on in that area.
Very encouraging.
Well, it is, because it shows you that people are taking these matters into their own hands now. All right? And they're no longer going to rely upon the public officials or political party officials or these other supposed leadership figures, because those figures have lost their credibility, and now it's time for the people to check up on this in the most direct fashion possible. That's
right.
A good sign.
Yeah, the issue has been brought to the forefront. I mean, before, you know, we didn't know it happened in an isolated event or whatever, but this has been brought mainstream to the forefront, and the fact that there's not an election coming up right now doesn't mean that these people aren't working on it. And as it grows closer to the election, you're going to see a lot more of this information come out and some of the progress that these people have made.
That's right.
Anything else, Patrick?
Just the fact that if we have a Ron Paul presidency, the things I can expect is that we're going to have turmoil regardless of whether or not he's in or not. It's just whether or not it's going to be a positive thing or a negative thing. And I'm hoping if he's in, it's going to be a positive.
And I think that's right. That's right.
Yes.
It's not going to be an easy ride with the first few years of a Ron Paul presidency, but the question is, are you going in the right direction or the wrong direction?
Well, Dr. Vieira, I equate it that we've been on a long road towards the highway to hell, or we've been on the highway to hell, and it's been getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and Ron Paul getting elected is going to turn us around, but that doesn't mean the temperature is going to drop 100 degrees just like that. It's going to take
some time. That's right, and we have a way to go. I mean, this country has been thoroughly messed up in many areas, and we have a lot of restorative work to do, but at least we'll have the right kind of leadership, at least we'll have the right kind of attitudes, at least we'll have the people organized and willing to take action on their own behalf, which are things we don't have now.
Right, exactly. Yes, Patrick, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it, buddy. We've only got a couple of minutes left, but I appreciate your input, sir. Okay?
Have a good one.
All right, thanks. Okay, Dr. Vieira, anything that you'd like to add before we depart for the day?
No, other than on these issues that we've talked about, the listeners have got to make themselves as conversant as possible. These are the matters that are going to decide the fate of this country in the next few years. Even if Ron Paul doesn't win this election, there's an election following that. Things are not going to get better unless there is a Ron Paul victory. We'd better understand what the problems are. We'd better be out educating more and more people. Our work is just beginning.
Could not have been any better said, and I've said so many times on my show, we have to wake people up. That's the key. Dr. Bill in Austin, real quick, got 30 seconds. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I know we're running out of time. I just wanted to call in. Been listening to the show. It's been a great show. You all really didn't get into the money issue too strong, so I wanted to jump on and plug Dr. Vieira's book for him, Pieces of Eight. It is the definitive book on money. The best book I've ever read, and it's where I get most of the information that I use to talk to different groups about the money issue.
Thank you.
Well, okay, thanks for the call, doctor. I appreciate it. Dr. Vieira, can they obtain a copy of Pieces of Eight right now?
Well, I can't obtain a printed copy, but very shortly we'll be coming out with a CD.
All right, very good. I'll keep you posted on that because I will be in touch with Dr. Vieira regarding the CD. Folks, thank you so much, Dr. Vieira, for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Okay, the end of a Friday, folks. Have a good weekend. I will be back Monday. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Stadtmiller. And I want you guys to have a good rest of the weekend and go out and wake some people up, okay? That's what this is all about. Bring them to church. Tell them to come and listen to RBN, folks. I will see you Monday. Have a good rest of the weekend. Bye-bye. With